Morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama is Nun Vav. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. As long as Zechanish Matliba Gabriela Bashmul, where Nun Hamid Beis, we're toward the bottom of the Amud. And we're starting today at the two dots with the words Tanya. It's five lines from the bottom of the Amud. Gemara starts off with a quoting of a Braisa. Today's daf is a big daf in terms of just Shas topics in general. We're really going to be focusing on Grumma, where you don't do damage directly, you do indirect damage. And essentially what we're going to be learning over the course of today's daf is that, and we've known this before, we've seen this before in the Masechta, that Grumma ben Izakin is Pater, that when you do something which is not direct damage but indirect damage, and you are not damaging but responsible for damage, you do something that will be a catalyst for damage, so although Medine Adam you're not going to be Chai, but Medine Shamayim you're going to be Chai. In general, we'll go through a number of cases over the course of this morning. In general, there's a discussion amongst the Rishonim exactly what it means that you're Chai B'dinei Shamayim. The simplest explanation of Chai B'dinei Shamayim is that, look, you didn't directly do the damage. You can't be taken to court. They can't pin it on you. Although, you know, throughout the cases, you'll see time and again, you know, you clearly did something wrong. But they can't pin it. You didn't do it directly. You did it indirectly. So Chai B'dinei Shamayim simply means that, look, after 120 years, when you meet a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so these are things that that you're going to need to explain. And, you know, I'm not sure if they're going to be good explanations, but that's one level of what Chayav B'dinei Shamayim means. But there are other Rishonim who say that Chayav B'dinei Shamayim means much more than that. Chayav B'dinei Shamayim means that really, truth of the matter is that you owe the money. It's just not enforceable by Beis Din. It's an obligation that you owe, but Beis Din can't actually enforce you to owe it because you didn't do the damage directly. So there's a spectrum, there's a range of opinion exactly what it means when it says Chayav B'dinei Shamayim, but. We state that there's going to be another overarching theme for today, which also is just one of those bigger topics, which we're not going to really be able to cover in the course of this morning. But again, we'll see all the examples that are given. But basically, there are occasions in the Gemara where, even though it's a Grumma, but you're still going to be liable. It's what the Gemara refers to as Garmi, right? Which is basically, you didn't do it directly, you didn't do the damage directly, but you did enough where the Chachamim say, okay, that's enough. You gotta pay. And there are other occasions, which we're going to see over the course of this morning, where it's just Grumma, meaning it's not a direct damage, it's an indirect damage, and therefore you don't have to pay at all. So there's another really larger overarching theme of today, and that is, when is it just Grumma versus when is it a Garmi? Okay, again, just I throw it out there. It's something that is it's a major topic. We are going to cover the daf, hopefully. Tanya, we start with the Gemara. We are in the Brayso. Rav Yeshua Amar Arba Dvarim Oso Osam Potam Medina Adam VeChay B'dinei Shamayim. Rav Yeshua says that there are four things where if you do them, you are Potam Medina Adam. You're going to be exempt from Dine Adam, meaning you're not going to be taken to court. So there will not be a court case, and Beis Din will not enforce and have the money extracted from you. But Chay B'dinei Shamayim. But what you did was wrong, and therefore, again, a range of a position, exactly what that means, but basically, Kadosh Baruch Hu is not happy with you, and you're going to be liable on that level, on a Dine Shamayim level. In a moment, after going through the four cases, the Gemara is going to point out there's much more than four. Meaning, if we're just talking about Grumma, there are dozens, I mean, really can almost be an infinite number of cases of Grumma. So why over here are we only limiting our comments to four? Why is Rav Yeshua only pointing to these four? So later the Gemara is going to ask that question. Later the Gemara is going to give an answer. Let's go through the four cases. Let's say you break a wall of your friend and you allow the animals to escape. Now you didn't take the animals out. You just simply allowed them to escape. Okay, so again, that's a Grumma. Now the Gemara in just a moment is going to ask the question, well, didn't you break the wall? Shouldn't you be liable for breaking the wall? The Gemara is going to ask that question. We're going to get to that question in just a moment. That's number one. Number two, Hakofif Kamasu Shachaver Bifnei Adleika. Let's say there is an oncoming fire, but the fire can't really reach, and what you do is you take your friend's stalk and you bend it into the direction of the fire, and therefore having the item catch fire. So the Gemara says, okay, that's not direct damage, that's indirect damage. And again, in a moment, the Gemara is going to ask the question, indirect damage, what do you mean? You bent the stalk with your hand. How is that indirect? The Gemara is going to ask that question. Case number three. I hire witnesses to testify. Okay, now obviously makes me unscrupulous for doing so, but I didn't directly damage. All I did was I rigged the system. In other words, I hired witnesses in order to testify. So in doing so, I'm not going to be liable b'dinei adam, but I will be liable b'dinei shemaim. And find the fourth case, let's say you do no testimony. And if you would go to court and if you would testify, so then the person would be awarded his money lawfully. However, you just declined the offer of going to court, right? You received an invitation to go to court. You received an invitation from the litigant. Please come testify on my behalf. And you lie and you say, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know anything. So that's another example of chayv b'dinei. Pata b'dinei adam, chayv b'dinei shemayim. Okay, so four cases that we've laid out. In all these cases, Rav Yeshua says that the grama b'nizakin is pater. And even though, again, chayv b'dinei shemayim, Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to be happy with those actions, but at least from a legal standpoint, from a court standpoint, you will not be taken to court. And what we need to do is the following. And this is what we're going to be doing over the course of this morning. Number one, let's analyze all four cases. Let's understand why in all four of these cases you're not chayv b'dinei adam, and you are chayv. Let's do that. And also later the Gemara is going to ask the question, why are we only limiting our comments to these four cases? There are many more cases. So let's do. Let's go step by step. Amar. We're on the very bottom of Nenhamed Bey's last two lines. I parts get it. So the Gemara's first example of Grama is where I break my friend's wall and allows his animals to escape. And I could just simply say, yeah, but I didn't touch the animals. I'm fine. Right, no foul. So the Gemara says, now, but wait 1 second, you broke the wall, didn't you? Shouldn't you have to pay for the wall? So if we're talking about where the wall is a strong wall, so you should be liable for the breaking of the wall. Now, interesting, by the way, we could also be having another discussion, which the Gemara is not super clear, but the Gemara says, you know, you should be chayiv, and the Gemara is seemingly talking about the wall. You know, we could also be talking about the animals as well. Meaning, if I break my friend's wall and it was a strong wall, what does that mean? It means that the animals that broke free broke out of his house as a result of my actions. So shouldn't I be liable for that? We're not talking about Dine Shemayim, we're talking about even Dine Adam. Shouldn't I be liable for that? So if you look at Rashi over here, Rashi says, no. Last Rashi in the Amud. Ibikoso bari b'dine adam na'minichayev mia akoso da'abi adayim avad. Rashi says that the Gemara's question over here of your liability is limited to the wall. You're not going to be liable for the animal. Why? Because go back to what we learned in yesterday's daf. In the Mishnah, in yesterday's, the first Mishnah of the sixth parak of Baba Kama, we learned together that if thieves go in and break into your house, and by doing so they break the wall, and animals escape, so you're going to be, our Mishnah says, exempt. So even when our Gemara over here talks about a liability for breaking a wall, it's only talking about the actual wall itself. It's not talking about the animals. And the distinction is, again, based on what we're saying. Because on the wall, that's nezek b'yadayim. I'm physically breaking the wall. On the escaping of the animals, I didn't touch the animals. So that's grama. So that's why Rashi says that our discussion over here is only limited to the wall. It's not talking about the animals. And the last Tosfos over here on the bottom of the Amud agrees with Rashi in his analysis of the Gemara. Other Rishonim disagree, but right now we're focusing on Rashi's explanation of the Gemara. So back to the Gemara, b'dinei adam na'min nechayev. So the Gemara says, if I'm breaking somebody's wall, I should have to pay for the wall that I broke. So the Gemara says, and that's assuming that it's a strong wall. Fine. So the Gemara says, ela b'koso re'ua. So the Gemara says, it must be that we're talking about a wall that's dilapidated. The wall itself is about to fall down. Rashi, here, top Rashi and Nunvav Amud Aleph, de lo afsadei, de lo mister kai. Basically, the wall's going to fall down. It's going to be a matter of, I don't know, days, whatever. In a very short time frame, the wall's about to fall down. So what do? I break a wall that's about to fall down. So the Rashi over here says, in explanation of the Gemara, that's why you're part of b'dinei adam. because I broke a wall, that anyway was going to fall down. And it engenders just generally a very interesting discussion. I break something of yours, but the quality of it was so poor. So basically, what Rashi's saying, what the Gemara is saying, is that, okay, even though what I did was wrong, meaning again, it's chayuchai b'dine shamayim, what I did is wrong, but it's not you can't take me to court. Right, it's not legally collectible. The fact that I broke something, which anyway was going to be, you know, just give it a little bit more time, it's going to be broken. That's
yeah, but it prevented the owner from benefiting from the wall standing up.
Right. It's right. The way Rashi presents the Gemara, it's a tremendous chiddush that I'm basically, in other words, even though the wall is dilapidated, it still protected the animals from leaving. Now that I broke it, the animals can now leave. It's agreed. It's interesting, and it's, you know, it is a little bit challenging to understand. Okay. Amar Mar, we're on the top of Nun Vav. So again, what we're doing now is the first thing we're doing with the course of this morning is we're going through each case by case. There are four cases presented by Rav Yehoshua. First case is that I break somebody's wall and the animals escape. So on the animals escaping, that's grama. Even on the breaking of the wall, you're going to be patur midine adam, as Agmar just explained, because it's talking specifically about a dilapidated wall. Amar Mar, we're on the top of Nunvav and Aleph. We're in case number two. Hakofif kamaso shachaver mimnei adalaika hechidami. So what I do is I take my friend's stalk and I bend it in the direction of the fire. And on that, we're saying it's grama. And that's really difficult to understand because I'm physically bending the stalk, my friend's stalk, so that it gets close to the fire. So, now, if the fire would have gotten there with a regular wind, meaning that there was now a fire that was right there, and not with anything out of the ordinary, but with just an ordinary wind and the way the fire spreads, I now presented the stalk closer to the fire. That's not grama. That's actual damage that I've done. So b'dinei adam nam nechayv. So you should be chayv even b'dinei adam. Elamachah baruch she'enem b'tzuya. So one suggestion of the Gemara is that the fire got there, but with an unusual wind, meaning a wind that was really unexpected, and so therefore, because it was unexpected, so you're not going to be held liable at least on a court basis where the money is extractable out of you from court, but Dina Shamayim, still what you did was not right. You bent it in the direction of the fire. It wasn't expected that the fire was going to get there, but it got there anyway. And so therefore, Dina Shamayim, you're going to be chayv. Sorry. Again, another interesting discussion to be had over here. I'll just raise it very quickly. In this particular case, I am presenting an item closer to the fire. Now, generally speaking, when we talk about Eish, how does the Nezek of Eish work? I'm the one who lit the fire. I started the fire, and then the fire spread as a result of my action. Here, I didn't project the fire. Here, I moved an item closer to the fire. Is that also Eish? Tosos on the top of the Amun Nun Vav Amud Aleph says, yes, it is. So the Im Tomar, take a look at the top Tosos. I'm just going to quote a couple of lines of the Tosos. The Im Tomar came and said, Chilog bein mekarv davar eitzel Eish, u bein mekarv ha-Eish eitzel ha-davar. It does not matter in the Nezek of Eish whether you're the one bringing the fire closer to the item or bringing the item closer to the fire. It is all under the category of Eish. That's Tosus's opinion. There is much more to discuss about this topic. There's a Rashi back in Daf Chav Beis that seems to argue with this point. I'm not going to go through it right now, but just suffice to say that it makes for another really interesting topic. Okay, so why is it that when I bend the stalk of my friend, I'm not going to be liable b'dinei adam? So one suggestion of the Gemara was that the wind that blew the fire was an extraordinary wind, one that I didn't expect. But because I bent the stalk, so therefore b'dinei shamayim, I'm going to be chayiv. Another suggestion of the Gemara, Rav Ashi Amar Taman. So Itmar Mishum Deshavya Taman Beish. So another suggestion of the Gemara goes like this. Very interesting. What I do is as follows. I see a fire coming onto my friend's property, and so what do? I cover the property. Now we haven't seen this inside yet, and we're going to see this together. By Eish, there's a special patur, there's a special exemption, right? Every nezek has its own unique characteristic. We talked about this since day one of the Masechta, and the Gemara touched on this earlier. But every nezek has a unique characteristic, and by Eish, the unique characteristic is if the item is not exposed, but it's covered, it's hidden, so then the one who started the fire is going to be Pater. He's going to be exempt from that. So after this fire was started, what do? I go over to my friend's property and I cover the property, right? That is about to be burnt, thereby creating an exemption. Fascinating. Now, in other words, without doing what I have done, so the person who lit the fire is going to be liable. Now, because I covered the property, I covered the item, so now the lighter of the fire is going to be exempt. So I basically created a loss to the damaged party. Okay, that's another suggestion of the Gemara. So again, Dine Adam, you can't extract the money out of me. I'm not the one who started the fire. I just create an exemption. So, and at the same time, however, the one who lit the fire is also going to be exempt as well. So once again, Pater Bidine Adam, Chai Bidine Shamayim. That's another suggestion of the Gemara. Yes.
Did we not learn in the past that even with an unusual wind, you're chai with fire?
If
I light a fire in my property, even with an unusual wind, it damages somebody else's property. You're still chai, no?
You're still, right. As long as if the fire could not have gone there without the unusual wind, I'm not sure. Let me investigate that a little bit better. I'll get back to you, but I'm not sure about that. Amar Mar, we're up to now the third case of the Braisa. So chayde sheker, you hired witnesses to lie in court. Now hey chidami, ilemel anavshe mamona bay shlomei v'dine ana nam nechayv. Now the Gemara says, let's pause for just a moment. Let's say I hire the witnesses to testify on my behalf. Okay, so we go to court with witnesses that I hired, and now, as a result of that, money went from him to me. That's Nezek B'Adayim. In other words, that's Geneva. I just stole money from that man. I now have money in my pocket that is unlawfully mine. And so, of course, I'm going to have to return that money, and you're Chai B'Dini Adam. And that can't be what we're talking about over here. So the Gemara says, El Chavrei. So the Gemara says, you're right. So the case over here must be where I hire witnesses to testify on behalf of somebody else. Okay, why'd I do that? In other words, when I don't stand to benefit, generally speaking, the Gemara has a rule of Ein Adam Chote, right, Vein Lo. Person doesn't sin where he doesn't benefit from it himself directly, generally speaking. So why am I hiring witnesses to testify on somebody else's behalf, to lie so that he gets money? I don't know. Maybe he's a family member. Maybe he's a close friend. Whatever. That part's a little bit challenging, but Gemara says that's the case here in question. And finally, the fourth case of the Braisa is where I do know testimony. I did see the transaction, whatever testimony I had. And after having been invited to court, I say, no, thank you. I don't know anything. I don't know what you're talking about. So the Gemara says, b'maiskin ani lema b'beitrei pshita da'araisahu. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. I didn't see this by myself, but I saw this in conjunction with somebody else. So that means that we present ourselves as a pair of witnesses, and we suppress our testimony. The Gemara says that's a pasuk in the Torah, meaning I don't need a brisa of Rev Yehoshua to teach me that what you did is wrong. Again, even if I suppress testimony, it's not an extractable. It's not an extractable avera. You can't come to me to get money out of me just because I didn't want to testify. But we know the Torah says that what you did is wrong. The Torah says at the end of Parshas Vayikra, Im lo yagid v'nasav ano, that if invited to go to court and you say you flatly deny knowing anything, and you are a pair of witnesses, you're one of two who saw the event, so the Torah says v'nasav ano, you have to bear your sin, meaning that's wrong, and I don't need a brisa to teach me that. So Ela b'chas, so the Gemara says what Rabbi Yeshua is referring to is where you're the only witness who saw it. Now, when you're the only witness who saw it, so what can you do if you go to court? You're only one witness. The answer to that question is you can force the defendant to make a shvuah. In other words, be'edus echad, with one witness coming to court, so now the defendant is going to have to make a shvuah. And in the event that he can't make a shvuah, so then he's going to have to pay. So it's true, as one witness, you're not going to be able to extract money for one person, but you are going to force them to make a shvuah. And if you deny knowing anything, even though you do, in fact, do so, so you are chai b'dinei shamayim. Again, that falls under the category of, that's not right. Now the Gemara says over here, Vesulaka Vaika. Now the Gemara says, okay, after having analyzed all four cases, now let's go to the next part, and that is, why are we limiting the idea of Grama to only four cases? There are a multitude of cases of Grama. As I pointed out in the beginning of today's daf, it could really go over, the number could be infinite. An infinite number of cases. But at least within the construct of the Gemara, the Mishnayos and the Gemara, there are so many cases of Grama. We're going to go through a bunch right now. Simon, the Gemara here gives us a way to mnemonic to help us memorize them. And then, let's go through each one. One is a case in which I do an avoda with either the water set aside for paraduma, or the ashes set aside for the cow itself. And we know that this is, even though it is nezek hezek sheino nikar, it is not recognizable what I did. The water hasn't changed. The cow hasn't changed. It's hezek sheino nikar. You can't see the damage that I did, but nevertheless I did damage. That cow, once it's been worked, no longer is fit and qualified to be used for a paraduma. And so that's an example where, because I didn't actually physically damage the item, I only halakhically damaged the item, so once again, I can't be taken to court. And meanwhile, chai b'dinei shamayim. That's something which, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be unhappy with me. Let's say I go in front of my friend's animal, and I don't do anything physically with the animal, but I put some poison in front of the animal. And the animal eats the poison, the animal dies. So once again, on a court level, I can't be taken to court. I didn't actually kill the animal. But grama, I clearly did something that caused the death of the animal. So that's another case. Right? I give fireworks to a kid who is simply not... fireworks. I gave fireworks to a kid who's basically not responsible enough to know what he's doing. And he shoots off the fireworks and he starts a fire. And so even though I'm the one who gave it to him, I am not going to be chayav b'dinei adam. You can't take me to court. Meaning I'm not the one who lit it. He's the one who lit it. But I gave it to someone who's irresponsible. I gave it to a kid. I gave it to a cheresh, a shota, someone who is irresponsible. So b'dinei shemayim, I'm going to be liable. Another case. So ha'ika ha'mavis es chaver patim b'dinei adam v'chayav b'dinei shemayim. Let's say I scare my friend. Right, when we were kids, it was a lot of fun. You hide behind the door, he comes in, and you scare him. And sometimes it could lead to really unfortunate consequences in doing so. Right, it's funny until it's no longer funny. So and meanwhile, b'dinei shamayim, I'm sorry, b'dinei adam, I'm going to be putter because I didn't physically do anything to him. So b'dinei adam, I'm going to be putter, but b'dinei shamayim, I'm going to be chayiv. Another case, va'ika, it just came on and on. Ha'ika nishbar kadav b'shos harabim v'lo saka nafla gamala v'lo hamida v'meir mechayiv be'zekan. So let's say I break a jug in the b'shos harabim, or my animal falls and I don't pick up my animal, and then somebody damages themselves on that which, you know, I didn't pick up in the Rishos Rabim. So according to Rameir, you're going to be chayv, and according to the Chachamim, patur midina adam v'chayv b'dinei shamayim. So according to the Chachamim, this is another case where the liability is because it was something that was not my fault. So I'm not going to be liable b'dinei adam, but b'dinei shamayim, I'm going to be liable. And we discussed this case earlier, the machlokes. Yeah, we discussed this earlier between Rameir and the Chachamim. We're talking specifically, the Gemara earlier talked about, we're talking specifically about the moment after it happened where you were picking yourself up and whatever. The Gemara discussed this earlier in terms of what exactly the parameters of this machlokas is. So the Gemara says that basically there are a number of other cases. Why is Rabbi Yoshua in the Brice in the beginning of today's daf? Why is he focusing specifically on these four cases? To which the Gemara says, in. You know what? The Gemara acknowledges there are many other cases. Mia, Ika, Tuva. There are a lot. Vehani, Tzrichlei. Rav Yoshua was highlighting four because he needed to highlight these four. And now what the Gemara is going to do is it's going to go back to the four that were highlighted by Rav Yoshua and give us an explanation of why specifically he pointed to these four. Ma'u detenei b'dinei shamayim nami lo lechayv kamash malan. So the Gemara says, because in these four cases, it's even more indirect. meaning all the cases that we just gave, my giving fireworks to the kid, meaning intuitively we all know that what I did was wrong. I mean, in other words, even if there wasn't a Mishnah, even if there wasn't a Brice, even if there wasn't a Gemara, intuitively, if I gave fireworks to a kid who's irresponsible, everybody knows what I did is wrong. Again, you can't take me to court, I didn't do it myself, but we all know it's wrong. In the four cases of Rabbi Yehoshua, you could make an argument that it's so indirect, it's like, it's not even Chai B'dinei Shemayim. And the Gemara goes through each one of these cases. So, for example, my Ovid. Case number one, I break the wall, my friend, in order to and allow his animals to escape. And as we pointed out, the wall that in question was not a strong wall, wasn't a good wall. It was a wall that was dilapidated. It was going to fall down anyway. And so maybe there the argument could be, come on, I didn't do anything. Meaning the wall was dilapidated. It was going to fall down anyway. Like I accelerated the fact that it was going to fall down, but we all know, you can admit also, it was going to fall down anyway. And therefore, maybe one argument could be made that I shouldn't even be Chai B'dinei Shamayim. That's case number one. Kamash Malan. Case number two, Akofiv Kamasu Shechaver, Nami Ma'u Detema, Lema Mihavi Adina, De Asya, Ruach Shena Mitsuya, Umidina Shamayim Nami Lolechayev, Kamash Malan. Case number two, I bent the stalk in the direction of the fire. But remember, as we explained, it wasn't a normal fire that was going to come. It was an unusual fire, meaning the wind that picked it up and took it was something that was irregular. And so the argument was going to be, I didn't see that coming. And don't hold me liable, afilu b'dinei shamayim. And again, the chiddush is that no, you're still chai b'dinei shamayim.
It's your intention that.
Hold on one second. We're going to talk. I'll talk more about that in just a moment. Okay, I'll address that question. So that issue. Ula Ravashi damar gabe tamanit mar maude tema ana kisuya kasisa nialach uvidine shamayim nami lalechayev kamash malan. Or let's go over Rav Ashi's explanation, which is, I covered the item, meaning the fire was coming, and it was on its path, and what did I do? I went over to your item, and I covered the item, thereby creating an exemption. Here the argument can go like this. Oh, we're going to discuss it right now. Here the argument can go like this. You know why I covered it? I didn't cover it to create an exemption. I covered it in order to protect it. Meaning, hey, how could you're accusing me of creating an exemption? You're accusing me of having some form of liability. My intention was the best of intention. I was covering it in order to protect it from the fire, hoping that maybe the fire wouldn't burn it. That could have been an argument. Kamash Malan, the Gemara says that's the chiddush. Chiddush is not a good argument. Now, if you take a look over here, second to last Tosfos on the Amud, Kisui Kasisi. So Tosfos over here points out, wait one second. We're talking about Chai B'dinei Shamayim, which means this is no longer between you and the courts, this is between you and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. If your intention was a good intention, so he knows, capital H, right? He knows exactly what your intention was. So what kind of what argument do you have to be making? Either your intention was good or wasn't good. And Tosfos writes over here, and it's fascinating. And I'm reading. V'yesh lamar da'afilu b'miskaven l'tova shelo yimayir l'srov v'yuchal atzil balabais b'sokach mikom makom b'dinei shamayim chayev. Tosfos says, even if, let's say, your intention was good, but if the result is a bad result, so then the intention really is not going to count in your favor. So the... I'm going to reread it. You covered it because you're going to hopefully retard the burning of the item, and maybe by giving it a little bit of a delay in terms of being burnt, so the owner can now pick it up. But because what you did now created an exemption for the fire starter, and now the person who lit the fire is going to be exempt, so even though with the best of intentions you create an exemption, so your intention really is not going to help you in this regard. Afilu b'dinei shamayim. Okay, it's a really fascinating point by Tosfos. Continuing in the Gemara, we are up to now the third case of the Braisa. So. Hasocher ede sheker nami, You're hiring witnesses to falsely testify. So mao de tema lema divra rava divra tama divra mishomim uvedine shamayim nami lo lechayev. So here, your argument could have been the following argument: I didn't really expect them to listen to me. Meaning, what I'm telling them to lie. Meaning, they're not going to lie, right? Now, over here, even the Havamin is hard to understand. Because you're not telling them to lie. You're actually paying them to lie. So, even as a Havamin, it's really hard to understand the Gemara's Havamin over here. But, Kamash Malan. So the Chiddush is that even with an argument of, I didn't really expect them to listen to me. No. If you hire them to lie, so you're going to be liable. Afilu b'dinei shamayim. What if you don't hire them? What if you just tell them to lie? Are you going to be held liable for doing that? Tos was over here. Interestingly enough, writes, no, you're not going to be held liable even b'dinei shamayim, because and Tosus makes a very good point. Look at our Gemara. Our Gemara is talking about where you hire them to lie, where you pay them. So it seems from the Gemara pretty clearly that if you didn't pay them, but you just suggested, presented the idea, so Tosu says that even on a Dinei Shamayim, you're not going to be liable. Okay, it's Tosus, by the way, is in Divrei HaMashal Ela LeChavrei. That point of Tosus is a little bit challenging, because we know Gemaras elsewhere that say that even for instructing somebody to do an Aveira, again, Ein Shlichlo Dvar Aveira, and you're not going to be held liable for instructing somebody to do an Aveira, but the Gemara in Kiddushin says, but what you did is wrong. And the Gemara says that you're going to be held accountable for that. So, okay, the Gemara in Kiddushin and the Tosus over here don't seem to coordinate. Again, for a different time, a different discussion. Hayodei Eidus, back to the Gemara, we're up to the fourth case. Hayodei Eidus Achavero, Ve'eno Me'ilo Nami Maudetema Miyemer Dechi Hava Misa'anile Hava Moda Doma Hava Mishtabela Shikra Uvidine Shamayim Nami Lelechayv. Again, let's remind each other. The Gemara says we're talking about a case where you're one singular witness. And so you are invited to go to court and you decline. And the argument you're giving is the following. Look, who cares if I go to court? Meaning, let's say I do go to court, and I'm going to force him to make a shvua. I don't know. Maybe he'll make a shvua, and I know I'm right, but maybe he'll make a false shvua. Meaning, what good is it if I go to court anyway? And so, therefore, the excuse of it's not going to help anyway, you might think is a really legitimate and plausible excuse, and therefore it'll exempt you even to b'dinei shamayim. And the Gemara says, and that's a chiddush. Chiddush says, no. If you know testimony, and you know what you're telling is the truth, you need, even as one witness, you still need to go to court, and you still need to testify. Kamash Malan. Okay, back to the Mishnah. Okay, so that's it. That was the topic of Grama. We did it in a very short amount of time. You can do a whole thesis on the topic of Grama, and the parameters of Grama, and the definition of Grama, and Grama versus Garmi. There's much more to talk about. What we did is I don't even think we scratched the surface. We just, you know. Sure. Yeah, we just.
Last case also works for capital cases.
Well, no. In other words, no. Because the idea of making a shvuah is only going to be in a monetary case. In a capital case, if you're one witness, that's literally nothing. You're not going to affect anything by having one witness come and testify in a capital case. So, okay, I don't think right. I'm saying it pretty definitively, but I don't think a witness will accomplish anything by a capital case. Okay, let's continue in the Gemara. Nifritz abalaylo shepratzua listim.
You don't even listen to an eidah
chidmah. Right. In other words, right. It could be lashon hara. Right. So the nifritz abalaylo shepratzua listim. We're now back in the Mishnah. And we're discussing the next case in the Mishnah, and that is where the thieves come in. I'm sorry. The wall breaks at night, or partsua listim, or the thieves break down the door. So they break down the wall. So Amaraba. So let's focus right now on the case in the Mishnah of the wall breaks at night. Okay. Remember, I quoted yesterday Tosos and yesterday's Daf. Oh, what an interesting Tosos. Tosos says that you're going to be putter even if you know about it. It was one opinion in Tosfos. But Tosfos says, even if you know about it, because in the middle of the night, you're not really expected to go out and start chasing down your animals. So, okay, just a reminder of what we saw yesterday. But in the meantime, however, the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, the Gemara quotes Rabba, V'hu Shechatro. Now it has to be where the animals were digging themselves out of the pen, out of the enclosure. So basically now, we are discussing that the animals were a contributing force to the breaking of the wall. And that's why when the walls fall down, on us. So Gemara says, wait one second. Avalocha chomai, chayev. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. Now what does that mean? That means that if the without the animals contributing to the walls falling down, you're going to be liable? So the Gemara says, wait one second. Echidami. Ilema because of bari kilo chatra amai chayev. My havalala maven. Gemara says, wait one second. Remember, there are two options. Either the walls are strong walls or they're not strong walls. Now, if they're strong walls, and even if the animals did not contribute to the falling of the walls, but look, you did basic shmira, and that's all you need. And you're going to be, and if the walls fall down, that's an ones. That is, there are circumstances beyond your control, and you're going to be exempt. Ela because of Ru'a. So the Gemara says, okay, so the walls are dilapidated. Well, if the walls are dilapidated, kichatra amai pater. Tchilas of b'pshiyav esof abones. Well, if the walls are dilapidated, that means that you did not do your job as the one responsible for the animals of enclosing the animals. You were enclosing the animals with inferior walls. That's not even shmir p'chusa. That's nothing. So of course you're going to be liable, even if the animals didn't dig themselves out of the enclosure and didn't contribute to the falling of the walls. You're still going to be held responsible because you enclosed the animal with inferior walls. So tchilas b'pshiyav esof abones, and you could file this under the category of you were negligent. Now it happens to be that the animals did help out with the falling of the walls, but you were negligent. It started with negligence and it ended with an ones. So the Gemara says, now, it happens to be that there is an opinion out there in the Gemara that says that even though it starts with negligence and it ends with an ones, you're going to be exempt. But the Gemara points out, that's one opinion. And parenthetically, we don't hold like that opinion. But the opinion we do subscribe to is that if it starts with negligence, even though it ended with ones, you're going to be chayev. So if that's true, if the walls here in question are dilapidated, the owner of that property is going to be responsible. So So the Gemara says, okay, the walls in question over here were good walls, they were strong walls. And even if the animals didn't dig underneath the walls in order to help the walls fall down, you're of course going to be exempt, because what else were you supposed to do? V'chi idmar d'rabba seifa idmar. Rabba's statement was going on in the next part of the Mishnah. Hanicha hinicha b'chama oshem asur chershot v'katan v'yatsasav v'izika chayev. So, when we say the next case, meaning we haven't seen this yet in the Mishnayos, we're going to get there, and that is you leave the animal out in the hot sun. Or you hand the animal over to somebody who is not responsible to watch the animal. And the animal goes and damages, you're going to be chayev. What did you do? You put the animal in a totally compromised position. Right? Leaving the animal in the hot sun. Right? The animal's going to go crazy. Right? Aside from the fact that you're torturing the poor creature, but the animal's going to go crazy. The animal will do anything it can to get out. Amar Rabba v'afilu chatra lo mibaye. I'm sorry. V'afilu chatra. Even if the animal dug itself out, let me buy hecha de lo chatra de kula bipshiyahu. Now, if the animal didn't dig underneath the wall, but basically leaving the animal out in the hot sun, and the animal just basically went crazy and knocked down the wall, oh, you're going to be liable. Ela afilu chatra nami. Even if the animal dug itself out, ma'ad detema havilei tchlasa bipshiyah v'sofa ba'ones. The Gemara says that you could have made the argument that, look, the walls fell down, but my animal dug underneath the wall, and that's why the walls fell down. So kamash malan, the kula pshiyahu, the Gemara says, this is all negligence on your part. My time in the Amalei, mediyada de kevin de shafkasa bechama, kol titztaka de islam amevet avda venafka. Once you leave your animal out in the hot sun, so the animal will do whatever is necessary to get out of that position. You are a poshe, you're negligent in doing so. And therefore, you're going to be liable for doing so. Hotzia listim v'listim chayavim. We're now on the top of Nunvav Amud Beis, and the Gemara discusses now the next case in the Mishnah, where the thieves break through the wall and the animals escape. Pshita kim dafku akaimalei birushu saihu. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. If the animals, sorry, let me say that again, let me say that better. if the thieves themselves were to take the animals then with their hands and lead the animals out, so then the thieves themselves are going to be responsible. There's an interesting Rashi over here on the top of Nun Vav Amud Beis, where Rashi writes, "Ika Meshicha v'shina Rishus da'aviknu l'chol mili." So Rashi over here says that there is Meshicha, meaning if the thieves were to actually pull on the animal, and there's also a shina Rishus, there's a changing of possession from the owner to the thieves. Now, of course, over here Rashi does not mean that the thieves have lawfully gained ownership of the item. You're a thief. You do not lawfully own the item. What Rashi means by this simply is that that you have taken on the responsibility of anything that happens either to the animal or anything that the animal does. Shina Rishus over here by Rashi just simply means that you now become the responsible address for the animals because you stole it. So the Gemara says, Pshita kevin dafkua kaimele b'rishusayu l'chomili l'tzricha d'kamula ba'apa. So the Gemara says like this, look, if the thieves were to actually grab the animals and pull the animals out, the thieves now become liable to the and the responsible party for anything that either happens to the animal, or anything that the animal, any damages the animal will do. The Gemara says that's obvious. So where exactly is it not obvious? What's the chiddush? The Gemara says, I'll tell you the chiddush, and that would be that the thief stood in the way of the animal, basically directing the animal in a particular direction. If the thief does that, the thief also is going to be responsible. The Kamalei Bapa, the Gemara says, Gihada Amarab Amarav Masta Amarav Hamamid Behemas Chaver Akamas Chaver Chayev. So the Gemara says, if I mamid. Now at this point, the Gemara understands mamid to mean that you grab the animal and I pull the animal in the direction where the animal basically is going to be eating other people's property. I'm going to be liable. So the Gemara says mamid pshita pshita. The Gemara says now if I grab the animal, obviously I'm going to be liable. Latzricha de kamle bapa. And the Gemara says again over here that what I did is I basically stood in the path of the animal, so the animal had no other direction to go other than the one that I'm leading in. In such a situation, even though I don't physically manipulate the animal, but by blocking its path and leading it only in one direction, so I'm going to be responsible. Amalei Abai L'Rav Yosef Hikisha Amartlan V'listim Nami D'Kishua. Abaye says another suggestion to Rav Yosef, and that is that you hit it with a stick. So hitting it with a stick is tantamount to Meshicha. It's like you're pulling on the animal, and by doing so, you're going to be liable. So that is a way to understand the Mishnah. So when the Mishnah back on the beginning of the Perek says that if the thief were to just break the wall down, so he's going to be Pater. But if the thief were to take it out, so then the thief is going to be chayev. And by taking it out, we mean a couple of things. So again, just to review. If the thief were to physically actually take the animal with his hands and pull it out, obviously he's going to be liable. Where's the chiddush in the Mishnah? So one of two suggestions. One is that you stand in the animal's way, where the animal only has one direction it can go. The thief is going to be liable in that case as well. Meaning chayev b'dinei adam. Like real liability. Or the other possibility, says the Gemara, is where you hit the animal, and even though you don't pull on the animal, but hitting the animal is tantamount to pulling of the animal. Okay. Masru l'ro nichnas aro tachtav. So amre tachtav daman. So if you hand over the animal to a shepherd, so now you're going to be liable. Now, who's the you? Right? I'm sorry, instead of him. Right, you're going to be liable instead of him. So who's the him? Ilei matachav debal behema. So the Gemara says, does that mean that when the owner hands over to the animal to the shepherd, so now the shepherd's going to take the place of the owner? Gemara says, now that's a that happens to be a very good pshat. The only problem is we've covered that already. Right, and it's a shomer, meaning, and it's a shomer, and the Mishnah earlier in the Masechta already addressed that. We talked about that back on Daf Mem Dalet, and the Gemara here quotes Tanina Chada Zimna Masul Shomer Chinam L'Shol Anosi Sachul L'Socher Kula Nichnasu Tachas Abalim. The Mishnah already addressed the issue of when the owner hands it over to the shomer now becomes the responsible address for anything that happens to the animal. So basically, what bothers the Gemara is it's a good pshat, but we covered it already, and we do not like to think that the Mishnayos are repetitive. So the Gemara says, Ela tachtav dishomer. So the Gemara says, it goes like this. The animal is already in the hands of a shomer. Right? So the owner already handed over to a shomer. And what did the shomer do? So he, pun intended, he passed the buck. Okay. You'll think about it, you'll laugh maybe later, but or maybe you'll laugh now. But anyway, so he handed over the animal to another shomer. And the and under those circumstances, what the Gemara now is suggesting is that once the first shomer hands it over to shomer number two, first shomer number one is no longer liable, shomer number two is going to be liable. Now you think about that and you're going to say to yourself, really? You think the owner liked that? In other words, the owner gave it to shomer number one. What do you think the owner would argue? I gave it to you because I thought you were responsible. And I trusted you. And I didn't, who did you give it to? Did you ask me? Did I authorize it? Like, what are you doing? And the Gemara, and the Gemara says, "The shomer kama yipato le lagamre." So let me add to Abba Diyufta the Rava. Damer Rava shomer shemasal shomer chayev. Now Rava's of the opinion that when a shomer hands it to another shomer, the first shomer is going to be liable, and the first shomer is going to be liable because he wasn't told to hand. He was told to watch it. He was not told, "Hey, delegate." pass it over to somebody else. No, your job was, and you accepted the job. Your job was to watch it, not to hand it over to somebody else. And Rashi over here, Shomer Shemasal Shomer Chayev Afila Bonstein. The Amar Le Mafkid At Mehemet Li Beshvua. Iyulo Mehemet Li Beshvua Shenensa. Look, even if an onus happens to the animal, some circumstances beyond the control, still the owner says to Shomer number one, "Yeah, I trusted you." Meaning, if it was an onus, and if you were the one that was held responsible, and you had to make a shvua, fine, I trusted you. But now you hand it over to somebody else, I didn't trust him. So, Rav is of the opinion that Shomer Shemasal Shomer Chayev. So, how can now you interpret our Mishnah to mean that when we say that you hand it over to the Shomer, so now Shomer number two becomes Chayev, Shomer number one no longer becomes Chayev, and that goes against what Rava taught us. Amalcha Rava, so the Gemara says, well, Rava will tell you, my Masru LaRoa, So the Gemara says that we're talking in our Mishnah about a very specific scenario, and that is that there was like a head shepherd and his underlings, and basically it's understood that when I hand over my animal to the head shomer, so he's gonna subcontract to his normal people that work for him. So under those circumstances, so then it's understood that when I hand it to Shomer number one, it's going to pass it off to Shomer number two.
He's ultimately responsible. He needs subcontracting.
Well, the word subcontracting over here may not be the best way to describe it, but it's right, correct. It's understood at the time when I hand it over to him, it was understood that he's going to hand it over to somebody else.
But it's his company that does this.
Right, that's why I'm saying that's why I'm not sure if the subcontracting is the best English way to describe it, but it was understood. So igadami mediktani masro la rov velokitani masro. I'm sorry. La masro la barzilai. Igadami. The Gemara has a slightly different version of this discussion. Mediktani masro la rov velokitani masro la acher shma minam masro la rov masro la barzilai. The Gemara says actually. I'm sorry. The orche deror la mimsa la barzilai. So the Gemara says actually, if you read the Mishnah carefully, you'll see this is actually the pshat of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah does not say masra to somebody. It says specifically Masra LaRoa, which again, it's you don't have to make this inference, but it very well could be said that the Roa in our Mishnah is speaking specifically about an underling. So the Gemara says Avala Achalo Lema Masayla LaRava. So that means the Gemara means then that if you handed it to a third party, somebody who was not normally working underneath him, so then that means that the first shomer is going to be liable, because the first shomer gave it to somebody he was not expected or authorized to give it to. So the Gemara says, "Damar Rava, shomer shemasal shomer chayev," and then it would be a proof to Rava, and that'd be good. But you know, the Gemara sometimes gets argumentative. Amilo, the Gemara says, not necessary. Dilma orcha demilsa katani vua din laacher. The Gemara says, well, no, maybe the critical reading of the Mishnah can't be made. And as far as the inference is concerned, well, maybe the Gemara says the inference can be just simply left alone. Meaning, that the Mishnah used the word roa, but the truth of the matter is it would be true if the shomer gave it to anybody else. Shomer number two would be liable, not shomer number one. We're not saying that that's so. We're just simply saying that you could say that in the Mishnah, and then it wouldn't serve as a proof to Rava. Okay, let's quickly review. We covered a lot today. And we basically finished it off. All good things. Okay, let's review. The Gemara today started off with the statement of Rav Yeshua, four cases where it's a grama, where it's not a direct damage, and as a result of that, you're not chayav b'dinei adam, but you are chayav b'dinei shamayim. And the four cases are breaking somebody's wall, allowing the animals to escape, two, bending a stalk in the direction of a fire, three, contracting witnesses to falsely lie, and number four, knowing testimony but not going to court, and testifying and basically declining an invitation to the court. Basically, issue number one, why are all these cases of grama? The Gemara went through everyone step by step, why they're cases of grama, why it's not considered direct damage. Number two, why are we limiting our comments only to these four cases? There are a multitude number of other cases, even in the Mishnahs themselves, and why is Rav Yeshua only focusing on these four? So the Gemara says there was a havamina that in these four, you didn't do anything. I mean, in other words, you did nothing wrong. So the Gemara has had to point out that in these four cases, certainly not in a Dine Adam level, but on a Dine Shemayim level, what you did was wrong. Then we analyze the next cases of the Mishnah. The wall falls down at night, you're going to be exempt. It has to be, we're talking about a strong wall. If it's a dilapidated wall, that is Tchilaso B'Pshia. Even if it's Sofa Bonis, but still you're going to be Chayev. And the next case in the Mishnah, where the thieves break in. So if the thieves were to themselves physically handle the animal, then the thieves are going to be chayav b'dinei adam. And then the Gemara gave us a chiddush in terms of what is considered the thieves handling the animal. It goes without saying that the thieves actually physically manipulate the animal, but even if they, A, stand in the way of the animal, so that basically the animal is, they're leaning the animal in a particular direction, or B, they hit the back of the animal, that's also considered mashicha, in which now they're going to be fully liable, afilu b'dinei adam. Then finally, we cover today the topic of shomer shemasa l'shomer. Rav is of the opinion that if shomer number one hands it over to an unauthorized shomer number two, shomer number one is going to be liable, and the way Rashi explains it, under all circumstances, shomer number one is going to be liable. The Gemara makes a distinction between this case and a case where there was a general expectation that shomer number one had underlings under him, and then he handed it to the people that worked underneath him, and the Gemara says under those circumstances, even Rava would agree that shomer number two becomes the responsible address, not shomer number one. Okay, I'll stop over here.